and watched impassively as another man held a serrated knife to my throat. And finally there was Romeo, who'd been accepted into graduate school in New York City but was first trying to make me his wife. 5 times a day, we all folded ourselves over the floor to pray, each holding on to some secret ideal, some vision of paradise that seemed beyond our reach. I wondered sometimes whether it would have been easier if Nigel and I had not been in love once, if instead we'd been 2 strangers on a job. I knew the house he lived in, the bed he'd slept in, the face of his sister, his friends back home. I had a sense of what he longed for, which made me feel everything doubly. When the gunfire and mortar shelling between warring militias around us grew too thunderous, too close by, the boys loaded us back into the station wagon, made a few phone calls, and found another house. Some houses held ghost remnants of whatever family had occupied them. A child's toy left in a corner, an old cooking pot, a rolled-up musty carpet. There was the dark house, where the most terrible things happened, and the bush house, which seemed to be way out in the countryside, and the positive house, almost like a mansion, where just briefly things felt like they were getting better. At one point, we were moved to a second-floor apartment in the heart of a southern city, where we could hear cars honking and the muezzins calling people to prayer.